When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's ride.
For the words that are recited before each and every game here at Dodger Stadium, take it away, Finn.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
What's going on, Dodger fans? Hope you're having a nice March, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Incline Dodgers podcast. We are part of the Fansided Sports Network, and we're presented by Tick Pick. This is Kevin Klein speaking, and it's been a tale of two Gavins this spring training. For one Gavin, things are going not too good, and then for another Gavin, kind of turning into an unsung hero this spring training, someone we talked about a lot throughout the last month or so. But we're going to talk about the things that are not going so well for Gavin Lux. Simply coming in, he was going to be the Dodgers shortstop. They handed him the baton. They set it all up for Gavin Lux to be the shortstop for the Dodgers. And unfortunately, I've never seen this before, where a guy lost the position in spring training. He didn't even make it to opening day as the Dodgers shortstop. He got pushed aside to second base. More on that in that adventure in a little bit. Dave Roberts announced that Mookie Betts is now the Dodgers shortstop. We have some thoughts on that as well, but we're going to dive into this narrative right now of Gavin Lux being the second baseman, or is he, for the Dodgers, and what the hell is going on with his defense. So let me pass it over to David Rosenthal, who's going to tell you why we shouldn't be worried about Gavin Lux at all.
I mean, I'm not going to say you shouldn't be worried about him at all, but I think a lot of people are overreacting now. First of all, I think this is an atrociously managed situation by the Dodgers. I don't think they gave him a chance, really. I mean, you can say he didn't look great. There was a couple throws, but it's been, 3 weeks of spring training, coming off an ACL injury, coming off no game action for over a year. I think this was a terribly managed situation by the front office and if Dave Roberts, whoever makes these calls, combination of both. And I don't even think they gave him a chance. But at the same time, I don't think this is going to be permanent either. I really don't. I think this is we have a game in a week situation, and we need, to get this figured out now. But it's going to be fluid throughout the season, in my opinion. Second thing I want to talk about is, nobody's talking about his offense. This dude's hitting .310. He's getting on base. And all I hear about is defense. So it's funny how people lose the negatives on certain players and just completely ignore the positives. This dude is 100% going to be in the lineup. I'm not saying he's going to start every game until he can get his defense and his throws figured out. But offensively, yeah, he's not hitting really for power, but he's getting on base, which is all I've talked about on here at ad nauseum, which is what he needs to do. So I think everybody just needs to calm down, including the Dodgers, because frankly, I don't think they really gave him a chance this spring. I really don't.
Before I chime in, let me give Jake Reiner the floor. Do you agree with that sentiment? Do you have some differing opinions? What do you think?
As it normally comes down to it, I'm somewhere in the middle of you two for this topic, but because Here are my concerns. I agree with David that the Dodgers kind of bungled this whole situation. I mean, they did at the same time, they didn't give him a chance. I feel like they didn't give him enough runway to figure it out coming off a tough injury that took him out for an entire year. But at the same time, you can't ignore the major glaring issues that he has. And these are not issues that are coming up suddenly after this injury. These are issues that we've seen with him pretty much the entirety of his career. Just bad throws. Doesn't have the arm strength. Doesn't have the accuracy. They tried him at third base too. That didn't work. They've tried him at shortstop. They say that it is his quote unquote natural position. They've tried him at second base. They've tried him in left field. Now, unfortunately for Gavin Lux, he's kind of been pushed all the way around the diamond. And so trying to figure out where he fits is a difficult spot to put a young player in. But regardless, his throws have been pretty bad this spring. From every position. And I think right now it is more mental than it is physical. I think it's in his head. He's dropping his arm angle. He's throwing balls in the dirt to Freddie Freeman. And I'm worried for Freddie Freeman's health in these situations, because not only do you have Gavin Lux playing out of position, you have Mookie Betts playing out of position. And arguably, you have Max Muncy playing out of position too. That's not a great infield defensively, if we're all being honest here. So I am a little worried about Gavin Lux's defense. But much like what David was saying, I love his offense. I love his bat. I love his speed. I love his on base percentage. So I believe he's going to be in this lineup. But I don't know that it's sustainable to have Mookie Betts be your everyday shortstop for the entire season.
It's not. It's absolutely not sustainable, which is why they need to just get him back on the right track and mix in occasionally, but you're not a five bad spring training throws. And for the record, I watched the one today on a highlight. Kevin fucking Padlow is playing first base. Kevin Padlow, that's what we're doing. Kind of took him off the bag. If Freddie Freeman is playing first base, that's an out, and we're not even talking about it. Barely took him off the base. His foot, I watched it three times. His foot came off the bag. He caught the ball just fine. His foot came off the bag because it's Kevin fucking Padlow, not Freddie Freeman. So there's a multitude of factors here going on. I'm not excusing the fucking chest of the first baseman. Let's tone it down here with the spring training overreactions. This is just too much.
They're the only one overreacting, I think, might be you, David, because Gavin Lux was given plenty of opportunity.
I am the opposite of
and
overreacting.
He has looked terrible every game that he started for the Dodgers this spring, shortstop and second base. I want to see him throw a ball that hits the guy in the chest. Every single throw that he's been making for the most part has been a bounce pass. And excuse me, it's not like he's setting the world on fire with his offense either. Yeah, he's hitting 310, which is good. But it's not like he's facing major league pitchers every day. Where's the power? There's been no power from Gavin Lux. He's got a few RBIs. So I'm not going to say he's been
power.
He's not, in my opinion, the amount of bad defense Gavin Lux is giving you hasn't made up for the offense. And that's just what it boils down to.
I disagree with that. I don't think we're relying on Gavin Lux for power. Look at the rest of this lineup. I mean, that's not what we need him for.
We're not relying on him for power, but we're relying on him to do something.
310. He's getting on base.
If he's going to have errors every game, then for every one or two hits he gets, we're also going to probably give up one or two runs because of his lack of defense. No. So the Dodgers are handling this right by demoting Gavin Lux from the shortstop position. You just can't do it anymore. You just can't. What really is aggravating, though, is that Mookie Betts shouldn't be forced to be in a situation where now he has to be the Dodgers shortstop. He trained all offseason long to be the Dodgers second baseman. And now all of a sudden we have to throw him at shortstop because someone else couldn't do their damn job. We'll get into what the Dodgers have to do to fix this, but I don't believe Mookie Betts is going to be the Dodgers shortstop for the long being at all. First of all, you're putting him at risk to potentially get injured because now he's playing really out of position. He doesn't want to go into right field. So I don't know what to tell Mookie Betts. He's going to have to be the Dodgers second baseman at some point, because if you stick him at shortstop, you're really killing the Dodgers defense, because now you got Max Muncy at third, who's been hit or miss. You've got Mookie Betts, who I don't think is a solid shortstop, at least proven yet. And then you've got Gavin Lux, who can't throw a single pass to the first baseman. That's a disaster.
I think it is unfair to Mookie Betts. Absolutely. I don't feel like we should be putting our, you know, perennial all-star right fielder in a position to where he has to play shortstop, arguably the most important position in the infield, when he's been training to be a second baseman. And I was actually quite comfortable with him being the second baseman. So I feel badly for him, but if you've heard his comments, I've never heard Mookie Betts like this. He's so committed to winning that he's like, I don't care, whatever. I'll play wherever you want me to play. I just care about winning. I care about my legacy. I care about winning. I care about making the Hall of Fame at the end of the day. I want more rings. So that to me is obviously the right attitude, but it's mainly Mookie just being like, I'm pissed about what happened in the playoffs last year. I'm looking to remedy that situation. So I'm gonna do everything I can for this team. And that to me is a great sign from him. But this infield, we're in trouble, because I agree with Kevin.
We are, David,
because if you look at around the diamond, we got Max Muncy at third, a work in progress. Yes, he's lost weight. Yes, he's focused on defense, but I don't fully trust him over there either. We've got Mookie Betts playing out of position at shortstop. We got Gavin Lux playing out of position at second base, and also the mental factor, something's going on upstairs. The only guy that you're confident with is Freddie Freeman. And I'm telling you, we're going to be giving up a lot of runs by not being able to stop the ball and turn double plays and do the routine stuff.
We've seen that already a lot in spring training with Miller and Yamamoto. Here.
Okay, so first of all, I'm not going to applaud Mookie Betts for playing wherever, because they're paying him $360 million.
It's not about that. It's about,
first of all,
it's about the attitude.
First of all, they've already paid him like $100 million. Great attitude. More like $260 to get your facts straight.
Great job for Mookie Betts. I'm not applauding that. If they tell him to pitch or play catcher, he should do that as well. Second of all, you're forgetting who is on this roster. You're forgetting all of the offseason additions. You're forgetting the pitching rotation. You're forgetting offense. This team is going to win this division by 20 games. 20 games, okay? There's room for a little wiggle room in the infield. There's room for Muncy and Lux to kind of be a little shaky at first, hopefully figure it out, start Mookie Betts at shortstop, maybe acquire a shortstop later on, maybe kick Mookie Betts back to right field where he belongs, put a shortstop there and put Lux at second, maybe Lux play shortstop well, and then you can put someone else, Kike, at second or wherever. There's tons of possibilities and permutations that are going to happen throughout this year where you don't need to act like we're going into the World Series on opening day. There's tons of time to figure this out. There is no urgency for the regular season for this team. There isn't. There just isn't. You look at the rest of the NL West, it's pretty much Arizona, and that's about it. You can think San Diego is going to make a run. I probably will say that at some point because they're just the boogeyman in my head, apparently. Giants are ass and the Rockies are ass. So there's, I think everybody just needs to calm down and stop acting like they need to figure this out right now, because they absolutely do not.
I don't need our starters throwing 15 to 20 pitches more a game because our defense is giving up free outs.
You're acting like this is going to be every play of the game. It's not. When has that ever happened with anybody?
Well, so far with Gavin Lux, it's been about 75% of the time.
Okay, I saw the game today. Yes, the throw was maybe a little off, but Freddie Freeman catches that.
Oh,
there's a communication issue with the second and shortstop thing. So that's not going to be every game.
It's been every game prior to this.
It hasn't. How many errors does he have, and how many games has he played?
Have you seen him throw the ball, David? Not one throw is on target.
Okay, I know Kevin likes his defensive stats, so I even pulled these up just for you. In 2022, when he was at second base, whatever this defensive DEF metric is on FanGraphs, he was fourth in the National League in it. And if you go to defensive runs saved, which I know is a common one, he's tied for fourth in that in second baseman. So he's proven he can do it at second base. That there's data on that. I don't believe any of that bullshit. I've seen it. I've seen him. I think he can handle either position. They just give him a chance, give him time to settle in. But for these people who like these defensive metrics, there it is. Go look up 2022 on Fangraphs, all the defensive shit you want to see. It's there. He's in the top five of second baseman in the National League. So it's proven. Okay, it's proven. That is the last full season he's played.
We've seen Gavin Lux play second base, and yeah, he can handle the position, and he probably can get back to that track. But he's supposed to be the Dodgers shortstop. We don't want Mookie Betts having to be forced to be the Dodgers shortstop. That's just not a recipe for success. That's not what Mookie Betts wants. For Gavin Lux to basically now have everyone out of position, that's not how this was supposed to go. Gavin Lux was supposed to be the shortstop. He looked terrible. Now it seems to be a mental thing. I don't think it's physical. I do think, like what Jake was saying, this is all in his head, and he needs to get his head screwed on straight. I don't know if he needs to see a sports psychologist or what, because for whatever reason, it's carried over to the second base, and he's looked just as bad. And I'm not going to use any of the excuses that he's missed all this time, because he's had like 6+ months to train for this. So it's not like he's coming off his couch 3 weeks ago and all of a sudden we should be panicking. He's had months to prep for this, and we've seen him work out at Dodger Stadium for months now. So why isn't it translating over? So it has to be mental.
Because that's not game action. It matters.
I'm even more scared. If he's this bad in meaningless games, once he's under pressure, it's going to be even worse.
Okay, yes, they're meaningless games, but this would be considered pressure because he knows that everybody's looking at him right now and expecting him to make the play, which is just adding on to this shit. So yes, he needs more reps. That's all it's going to be. You need more reps. You need more experience. And I don't care what anyone says. Call me wrong. Call me stupid. I don't care what you call me. They pulled the plug on him at shortstop way too early. Way too early.
I think they pulled the plug on him at the right time because the season's a week away, and we cannot have Mookie Betts become the Dodgers shortstop.
He's not going to be a shortstop full time. Maybe to start, but that's not going to be the issue.
Gavin Lux is closer to starting in AAA this season than he is to being in the Dodgers lineup.
No, he's not.
I disagree with that. What I will say is this. One of the reasons that Dave Roberts gave to the reason why they shifted him back over to second base is because of his knee. They were saying that him putting pressure on his knee in the hole at shortstop and making that throw was maybe too difficult for him at this point in his recovery. So they wanted to shorten up the throw and move to second, which is why I believe that it is a mental issue with him. I do feel like he's putting a lot of pressure on himself because of what he's... I mean, we know Gavin's on social media. He interacts with people all the time. So we know he's seeing all this stuff. We know that people are all watching him like we are all watching him. So I think it's a mental thing. I feel badly for him because I'm rooting for the guy. I think he is a special talent, and I believe in him offensively, but the defense has worried me for some time. And I know David listed off those defensive metrics, but honestly, like, I watch the games and I don't trust it. I just don't trust him to be able to make the play and to make a strong throw to first base. Do I believe that he's not given the runway, as much of a runway as he's needed? I agree. I feel like they may have pulled the plug on him a little too soon. 100%. I kind of wanted to see if he was going to be able to figure this out and move past. And instead of playing two people out of position, you're only playing one person out of position, which arguably would be Lux or Betts, depending on the two, but you switch both of them and now they're both playing out of position. So I don't know if this helps or hurts the team with this switch, but I just don't like the idea of having Mookie Betts at shortstop. As talented and as athletic as he is, it's too important of a position.
I think you guys are way too confident about Gavin Lux being on this opening day roster. He can't be in the lineup right now because of his defense, and the Dodgers value defense. They're not going to risk it. And I think this Mookie Betts at shortstop right now is just a smokescreen. I think the Dodgers are going to work out a trade within the next few days, and it's a shortstop out in Milwaukee, and his name is Willy Adames. I think this move is inevitable because for all the reasons we said, they don't want Mookie Betts at shortstop. They want him at second base. They can't go into the season with Miguel Rojas and Kike Hernandez as their shortstops. There's too much on the line here. And when you have Gavin Lux, who's shown time after time this spring training he can't handle the pressure, then maybe they need to start him off in Oklahoma City so he can figure some things out. call him up in a month or so if he can start to get together a rhythm, especially defensively. And you bring in a Willie Adames to plug it in right now as the Dodgers shortstop, because he's an A-plus defender and he hits for power. Two things that right now Gavin Lux doesn't provide to this team.
It's just an absolute panic move if I've ever seen one. There is no urgency for this team right now. There should not be, and there isn't. If they make that trade, I would be shocked and honestly disappointed, because maybe you can make a trade, see how it goes for a couple months. If it's still the same situation in 2 months, even a month, okay. But if you make this trade after two or three weeks of spring training, you're panicking for no reason. I agree that Mookie Betts should not be the full-time shortstop for this team for the full season, but he can handle a month of it. He can handle 2 months of it if you want. You mix in Rojas, you mix in Kike Hernandez, whoever you need to get in, that's fine. But if you make a panic trade right now because of five throws and a miscommunication, recognize who the front office is at this point.
Well, I mean, it was a panic move, I think, anyway, to switch Lux and Betts. I mean, that was kind of shocking to me. I did not expect that to happen. So I agree. I feel like going out and getting another shortstop would I don't know how you would do that. I mean, unless Lux was in the trade, then
do it.
Then okay. It's just too bad that that Miguel Rojas can't really hit, because that would be the perfect solution.
That you're missing the point here. You got both who are acting like you need everybody one in this lineup to hit three home runs and to hit 300 and to run and to drive and run.
Where are you getting that from?
You just said too bad Miguel Rojas can't hit. We don't need him to hit.
I mean, I've always felt that about Miguel
Rojas. Two or three
Rojas.
Games a week. Play defense two or three games a week. Don't need you to hit. Hit eighth or ninth. That's fine. You mix in Mookie Betts at shortstop. You mix in Hernandez at shortstop. Even play Gavin Lux there. Let him try to get his feet back under him. Let him get settled. They didn't do that. They haven't done that.
In my defense, I've always wished that Miguel Rojas was a better hitter than he is, because I like the guy and I think he's a great defensive shortstop. And clearly, the Dodgers feel that way too. Otherwise, he would be starting the lion's share of games at shortstop, and you wouldn't have to move Mookie Betts to shortstop. I don't believe that you need 1 through 9 to be able to hit 300 and hit 30 home runs out of the park. Earlier in this podcast, I said that we don't need Gavin Lux to hit for power. We need him to do what he does, which is...
Well, we don't need him to do what he does because he
get on base and run. That's what he does. He sets the table. He's that secondary leadoff hitter. We've talked about it for a long time now. I mean, look at the top half of that lineup, 1 through 6, even 1 through 7 with James Outman. That's all you need offensively, power wise, run production wise. So I don't believe that you need a great hitter 1 through 9. All I was saying is that the Dodgers would feel a lot more confident if Miguel Rojas could hit, because then this wouldn't even be a discussion.
I completely disagree that the Dodgers are panicking. The Dodgers aren't panicking with these moves. If anything, they're doing the right thing. Because, I mean, come on. He can't perform in any of the games so far. If the Dodgers were panicking, they would have made that trade for some low-tier guy. They would have pulled off some weak-ass signing like Tim Anderson. So far, they're holding their own. They're keeping the same roster intact. And this is a completely reactionary right move by the Dodgers by demoting Gavin Lux to the second baseman job. Because if they were going to keep him at shortstop, it would only get worse. He would only even get into
that.
A bigger
you have
mental
no idea
lapse.
About that. That's a ridiculous assumption.
No, it's not, because I'm seeing him suck at second base. So clearly the Dodgers
in
are in
two
the
games?
Right here.
In 2 games.
It's not two. Just because you didn't watch much spring training, David, doesn't mean
when
the
did
facts
they move
don't
him?
Speak for
when
themselves.
Did they move him?
They moved... Well... They moved
how
him.
Many games has it been since they moved
they
him
moved,
to second base?
They moved him about 2 weeks into spring training off the shortstop position.
So it's been how long since he's moved there?
And in those games, Gavin Lux's poor defense resulted in Yamamoto getting shelled. We had that game because of Lux's bad defense. We just had the game today where the inning expanded. Bobby Miller gave up unnecessary runs.
Three games.
It's been like five bad.
Well, he doesn't play every game, so it's kind of all they're alternating these guys. So it's when he's been out there since they moved him, it has not been more than three games since moving to second base. If anyone can make a conclusion off three spring training games, they should not be talking about Dodger baseball ever. Period. For anything, for anybody, any player, if you make a conclusion about three spring training games, I can't take you seriously ever.
It's not just three spring training games. It's the same issue at both positions for the entirety of spring training. That's the issue. Is that moving him to second base didn't all of a sudden fix the throwing problem. It's the same problem.
My point is there's been not enough data either way on that.
I can agree with you on that. I personally, I would have let him have a little bit more run at shortstop before making this decision. But like Kevin said, I mean, you watch these games, it's the same issue at both positions.
Obviously, we know the issue. It's the throwing accuracy. And if you want to say the arm strength as well, go ahead. That's the issue. We know that. And we know it's not a skill issue. Like, we all know it's not a skill issue.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Of getting over something like that, fear or anything like that, if this is a mental issue, is by just keep doing it. Keep doing it, getting more reps, getting more comfortable. That is the only way to overcome that, if this is what that is. So by pulling the plug, and look, if you want to send him to Oklahoma City, I guess I would understand it, just because you can get the reps in without quote unquote hurting the team if he messes up. But my original point is this team is good enough offensively, defensively, and on the mound to overcome the occasional error. It is. And I think the return on investment by leaving him out there and letting him work through it is light years better than just giving up or trading for someone else or sending him down to Oklahoma City. He was the number one prospect in baseball for a reason. The offense coming off an ACL tear to do what he needs to do in this lineup is there. He is getting on base and he is hitting for average. So if you're going to make conclusions about three games at second base, you sure as shit better make conclusions about his fucking offense this whole spring training.
You said it. He was
that you can't do one or the
other. One prospect, and it's been 6 years now, and he really hasn't amounted to much. So Gavin Lux,
that's irrelevant. He's the number one prospect for a reason.
Yeah, and I haven't
don't make anybody the number one prospect.
Well, then they were wrong, because so far at the major league level, he really hasn't amounted to much hype at all. And for Gavin Lux, it probably is going to end up him starting in Oklahoma City so that he can get the reps. If he hurts this team at the major league level, it's only going to bust his confidence even more. So the way I see it right now, he's not going to be in the Korea series. Otherwise, they probably would have confirmed it by now. They're already confirming most other players. So he'll probably be back in Los Angeles. Maybe he doesn't start in Oklahoma City technically, but he won't be on that roster. He's got a week, I guess, to figure it out in those exhibition games. And then maybe when the Dodgers have their official opening day in Los Angeles, maybe we're having a different discussion. Because right now, he's not going to be in those Padre games. I can guarantee you. It's going to be Chris Taylor at second base. It's going to be Chris Taylor at shortstop probably, and Mookie Betts at second base.
I don't care about the Korea games. I'm not even going to watch them anyway. The opening day is the real opening day, not this, you know, fantasy Korea series. I just don't care about that.
They definitely count. And no surprise, Tyler Glasnow and Yoshinobu Yamamoto will be the Dodgers starters. So congratulations to them. They were the best Dodgers spring training starters without a doubt. So they deserved it. And do we have any other final thoughts on Gavin Lux before we move on?
I think if he's going to be on this roster, he's going to Korea. Like, I don't see how they would allow him or keep him from going to Korea to start the season and then put him on the opening day roster when the season fully gets underway. I feel like that would be such a demoralizing thing for him. If your plan is to keep him on the roster, that is demoralizing, and they shouldn't do that. They should do one or the other. Tell him now. You're starting the year in AAA and you're not going to Korea, or we believe in you. You're coming to Korea and we're starting the season with you. It has to be one or the other. I would be shocked if it was a combination of the two.
I mean, I don't think they're going to tell him yet, because he's still got about a week to turn it around. And if he does turn it around, then all this is a moot point. But if we're just going off what we've seen right now, he's not going to be on that roster. And it's as simple as that.
There's no way.
I don't think that
would be insane if they do that.
I don't think they're gonna start the year with him in AAA.
They've given Austin Barnes 5 years of rope, and you can't even give Gavin Lux a spring training.
Well, Austin Barnes is a backup, so are we okay with Gavin Lux being a backup?
You understand what I'm saying. It's not about,
because if Gavin Lux is just on the bench, then why is he there? He's not gonna get.
I'm not. He shouldn't be on the bench. He should be starting.
Well, he has to be on the bench with every defense, because he's going to kill us.
No, give him more reps. That's all I'm saying. Just let him get this out of the way. Let him get more comfortable. Demoting him or whatever at shortstop was just the absolute worst decision.
It was the right decision. Gavin Lux, unfortunately, has been the biggest disappointment probably coming out of the Dodger system in the last 5 years, all things considered. Due to health factors and this just disarray of defense where it's a circus. He's like a literal circus at shortstop.
Literally, Freddie Freeman is playing first today and you're not even talking about this.
Well, he was playing first the other days and it was an adventure for him. And I'm worried that these throws, if he's having to dig these throws out every other opportunity, like, that's not good either.
I don't need Freddie Freeman to tear his ACL because Gavin Lux is one hopping everything to him.
You guys are both going to look back on this and say you were overreacting. Well, Kevin probably won't, but
I'm not. I don't think I'm overreacting at all. I'm looking at what exactly I'm watching here, and I'm cautiously optimistic. That's what I am. I mean, generally speaking, that's what I am. But I'm not. I don't think I'm overreacting at all. I'm just taking it as I see it. It doesn't look good. And there was another moment today where there was a pop fly in the infield, clearly Gavin Lux's ball. He was looking at Chris Taylor like, are you going to catch this? And Taylor was looking at him like, are you going to catch this? The ball just dropped in the infield.
Yeah, I saw it.
And then they cut to Dave Roberts and he looked disgusted. There's something mental going on. Like, that's a mental thing.
I think it's confidence. I don't think it's mental. I think it's straight up confidence.
What is confidence if not mental?
Well, I'm just saying, I think there's a difference of he can't throw it to first because he's a mental patient versus the confidence that they've not contributed to helping.
I'm not saying he's a mental patient. I'm saying that confidence is a mental thing.
Okay, fair. Yeah. And
Gavin Lux needs to take some accountability here because his comments about this play.
When is he not taking
right now? Because he just commented when he was asked about this that he doesn't have a throwing issue. Like, how much weed are you on, Gavin Lux? Of course you have throwing issues. You can't even.
You just said it's a mental issue. So it's not a throwing issue.
Mental leads to physical things all the time. The brain is the most powerful organ in your body. So if he's not mentally there, then yeah, he does have issues throwing. Maybe he should have phrased it differently. Like,
you know what he's saying.
Maybe he should have said, like, health-wise, I feel good, and I don't think that's resulting in my throwing issues. But to say I don't have a throwing issue.
Does it matter what he says? Who gives a shit?
He sounds like Russell Westbrook out there. Take some accountability, Gavin Lux. You're about to lose your job. Figure this shit out.
He's not taking accountability. And to say that those career
games, don't count is just ludicrous. Of course those games count. Especially if the Padres end up being a sleeper team, we're going to want to win those games. You never know.
Say they didn't count. I just said,
yes,
I don't
you did.
Care. No, I didn't. I said,
yes,
you can rewind the tape. I said, they don't count. I didn't say they don't count. I said, I don't care. The real opening day is in whatever it is. That's my opening. They can play these games
because
growing of the game is fun.
We should care because
you can freeze and cold take me if the Dodgers division title is less than two games, but I will tell you right now it will not be.
I don't care about the division. What I care about is everyone in sync defensively because I don't want these starters to throw more pitches than they have to so that there's wear and tear by the time they get to the postseason and they're all just out of gas and we have another 2023 on our hands where we're just relying on scotch tape and duct tape.
This is a gross overreaction.
At this point, with the way things are going and every pitcher blowing out their elbow left and right, I want our pitchers as efficient as possible with as minimal errors behind them as it can be, especially with the shift ban and all of that. These things add up. And I don't think that's an overreaction.
I would agree with that statement, but I think you are assuming that every other inning there's going to be an error from him. And I don't think that's fair. It's not.
Not every other.
There's proven that has never happened before.
But so far he's averaging one a game, and that one is usually leading to 15 to 20 pitches, and that is just the stats right now.
So you're telling me he's played how many games and how many errors? Because I don't see that. Or are you just making that up?
Definitely not making that up. He's probably got four official errors.
Making it up. Probably. You just said probably. So you are making it.
No, you're twisting my words as you are all podcasts right now. But what I'm saying is that he's made four official errors and he's had three. Like, I don't think they ruled that pop-up one an error, but obviously that would have been an error in a regular game because that should have been a routine out.
Okay, so not one error a game then. He's played in more than four games.
He's had at least eight mishaps. He's averaging one mishap a game.
We're splitting hairs here on this.
I don't think we should be saying he's making.
Well, first of all, we've got one guy who's admitted he hasn't watched any spring training, and so then we got me and Jake who've seen Gavin Lux been inconsistent all spring training.
I'm not saying he's not struggling. I'm not struggling defensively. Anybody guys can see that. But let's not say he's averaging one error game when that's just pulled out of your ass. That's all I'm
here's
saying.
Here's the other issue that I could see happening on top of errors leading to runs and pitchers getting injured. And we talked about Freddie Freeman potentially getting injured. I mean, all those are real things that could happen. The other thing that could happen is if you're on the mound and you're not confident in the infield defense behind you, mentally you might be trying
nobody,
to do too much on the mound.
Thinking that, dude.
Are you kidding? Pitcher.
No, I'm not.
I'm telling you.
They're not thinking, oh shit, Lux is playing second base.
No, it's not about that.
These guys are major
leaguers. No, it's not about that. It's not about that. It's knowing that I don't have confidence in the guys behind me, so I'm going to try and strike everybody out. And that is...
They're not pitching like that, man. They're not doing that.
How do you know they're not?
I think we're good here.
They're just not, dude. They're major leaguers.
If David can find a woman that will defend him like David defends Gavin Lux, then David will be the luckiest man on earth. And I'll leave it at that. That's a compliment.
I'm on the side of reason here. You guys are overreacting over a sample size in practice games.
I am not overreacting, and that just proves my point. If he can't handle this in practice games, he's not going to all of a sudden turn it into success in real games. There are some guys that just can't handle...
Over time, there will be a regression to the mean.
There are some guys that can't handle the spotlight playing in L.A., and I think Gavin Lux, up to this point, has fit that mold. He's like a Vladimir Radmanovich. He is like... He is like Andrew.
What a reference.
Yeah. He's like a Josh Reddick as well. Just a guy that comes to the Dodgers from some small town and can't handle the LA pressure.
I think you guys are on two unbelievable ends of the spectrum here. I think both of you are overreacting in your own way. I feel like I'm not overreacting with this thing. I'm watching this. I'm concerned, but I also believe in Gavin Lux. And I want to see him succeed. And I'm not saying that this is going to be a complete disaster, but you can't sit here and think that it's not concerning. I mean, yeah.
Never said it wasn't.
Do we think that the Dodgers are going to not win the division because of this issue? Absolutely not. They're light years ahead of every other team in this division, including Arizona. But I'm not going to be sitting here thinking, oh, well, they'll just be fine and the games in Korea don't matter. I think it all matters. I think it matters confidence-wise. I think it matters to play as a team. And just to everything that the Dodgers have done this offseason has been a move to win a championship. You talk about Ohtani, Yamamoto, Teoscar Hernandez, Glasnow, all those guys. They're stopping at nothing to build this team that's hopefully a team that can win a title. And when you have an infield that's kind of in disarray at the moment, it is concerning. Is it the end of the world? No. Do I think that Gavin Lux is going to start in AAA because of it? I don't believe so. But it is concerning, and I don't think that's an overreaction.
I'll bet you, unless he goes air-free the rest of the way, he's not going to be in Korea. I don't know what you want to wager on it, but maybe the chat can decide. But that's how confident I am right now. And it's unfortunate. It's not like I root against these players, but I have to go with what I see, and that's what I see. I'd like to move on now. So thank you, guys. We have a chat that we've been ignoring. That was a good debate. That was an A-plus debate, I must say. Hit the subscribe button if you're watching right now on the YouTube feed or Delayed Fact. Be a subscriber. We got Dodgers content all season long. Hit that like button as well. Let us know in the comments what you're thinking about the Dodgers. And let's move on. I would like to actually talk Dodgers starting rotation, because you know who's not coming to the Dodgers in Korea? James Paxton. Not because of play, though. They already said James Paxton won't be with the team when they go to Korea. He's going to ramp up for Los Angeles when they begin that series. But I think the fifth spot in the Dodgers rotation has gotten clear and clear by each outing. And this was my guy that I said, you need to keep your eye out on when we entered this spring training. I'm giving the fifth spot to Gavin Stone. I think he's earned it. If you want to talk about a Gavin that went from kind of a sleeper to really raising his stock and raising a lot of eyebrows, it's Gavin Stone. He put in the work and it's paid off. He's got 9 2/3 innings under his belt, an 0.93 ERA, 9 strikeouts, and an 0.62 whip. And I have to kind of be consistent and say, well, yeah, it's spring training. He's facing a lot of minor leaguers. But just based off the stuff, the changeup looks absolutely disgusting. He's actually got full command of it right now. And his fastball velocity looks like he's throwing as hard as he's ever been. I've been reading that he's ticking up about 96 miles per hour. And you just look at his pitch mix and the way he delivers the ball, he kind of looks like a hybrid of Zach Greinke and Sonny Gray. And so if I'm Dave Roberts and Friedman,
he does look like Sonny Gray.
I would give Gavin Stone that fifth spot.
I mean, look.
Thank you, Aaron.
That's why I was laughing. I think I agree with you, Kevin. I think that they should give it to him, but it's honestly not that much of a competition in my mind. I know that Dave Roberts had said that Michael Grove is a front runner, and Yarbrough as a front runner and all of that. But to me, it's like, what are we choosing between? Give the young phenom a chance. Give him another chance, because last year they gave him a chance and it wasn't too great. But the way he looks in spring, he looks unhittable so far. I want to give him that fifth spot, because why not? I mean, what are your other options? It's not like your other options are so great that you want to keep Gavin Stone in the minors. I mean, what are we talking about here? Michael Grove hasn't looked great. I mean, he's looked okay in some spots, but he hasn't looked great. And Yarbrough, you know, I think they like him as a Swiss Army knife to be able to get that spot start, to be able to come out of the bullpen, be a bulk guy. I like him being in that hybrid role. So I agree. I think Gavin Stone should be the fifth starter.
Yeah. I mean, this is no, there's not even a debate. There's no one that's really challenged him for that spot. What I would do is I would let Stone pitch 5 or 6 innings and then go to Yarbrough and hopefully finish the game. Give the bullpen a complete day off. Let those two guys take 9 innings if they can handle it, and then move on to your 4 guys. That's what I would do. I think if they go with Michael Grove, it'll strictly be because they want to manage Stone's innings, or they want him to get comfortable in Oklahoma City. It'll be strictly like a Gavin Stone development growth decision if they give it to Michael Grove, because clearly Stone is the prized guy of the two, and they have a plan for him or whatever. But on talent and deserved merit, it's not a debate.
Yeah. And Michael Grove either has nudes on the Dodgers or he's like a cockroach.
No, he's not that bad. He's actually kind of valuable and versatile that he can start and come in relief.
Because yes, I was going to say, after good. Every outing when he looked like dog shit, all of a sudden the light flickers and he has a dominant outing. In his most recent outing, he went 3 1/3, yeah. I believe, six dominant strikeouts. But
you
Gavin Stone,
like that.
And so I think Michael Grove is going to probably be in the Dodgers bullpen to start the season. Just due to the injuries, Brustar Graterol is dealing with some hip and shoulder issues, and that's a bit of a concern. Emmett Sheehan is going to start on the IL. He's dealing with some soreness. And then Blake Treinen is going to be okay, but he did take a pretty gnarly hit to the lung, causing some bruising there.
Bruised lung. I've never heard of that injury before.
Avoided complete disaster, though, by the way.
Like, and then shout, yeah.
He could have been a rib situation where he's just done for the year. But I don't know.
And shout out to Daniel Hudson. When they made the signing, I said, you can't count him out. He's going to work his way back. He's officially going to be on the Dodgers big league roster. So this guy went through 2 different knee surgeries, worked his way back, given a third opportunity. He'll be on the Dodgers official major league roster as well. I still have some question marks with JP Fireisen. I don't know if he's going to make the Dodgers initial roster or they start him off in Oklahoma City. We just haven't seen a lot out of him yet.
He's looked shaky.
Yeah, but there, due to these injuries, I guess there are maybe 1 or 2 openings in the Dodgers bullpen. Kyle Hurt has looked really good. I still don't know if the Dodgers are going to just start him off as a starter in the minors, or if they just kind of say, you're our new Caleb Ferguson, and they give him a bullpen role. But I think Kyle Hurt has the potential to really shine for the Dodgers this season. But yeah, circling it all back, Gavin Stone needs to be the fifth starter. And if he's pitching like he is right now, we might be talking about Gavin Stone starting playoff games for the Dodgers, because he's looked that good.
Yeah, let's pump the brakes on that, because I want to see what he looks like in a season. Because if you remember, during last spring training, he was actually pretty dominant too, and then he didn't do so well during the regular season. So I want to wait and see on that. And I would like for them to give him that spot in the rotation, because I want the Dodgers to give their stars a chance, and they tend to baby their pitchers a lot. And I just would rather see him flourish at the major league level. I think I agree. He's earned it at this point. Brustar Graterol, though, that kind of, It gives me some pause, because he's dealt with injuries in the past and he's coming off a career year in the bullpen. So I'm just a little worried that, you know, he's not going to be as healthy as we need him to be. But the way that this bullpen is stacked right now, the depth is insane. I mean, you talked about Daniel Hudson, but we brought back Ryan Brazier, and we have Joe Kelly and Evan Phillips and a ton of other guys that will be able to, pick up the load when Brusdar Gratterall is recovering.
Very, very old bullpen.
It is a very old bullpen, but very experienced, and I trust it.
Yeah. Could still use a Devin Williams, in my opinion. I'm going to hope and pray that that happens.
We could all use a Devin Williams in our lives.
The Devin Williams and Adames package just needs to happen, and I'm going to die on that hill.
Well, then the Brewers are just giving up on this season.
They are giving up pretty much. Yeah, we don't have to worry about that. It's just a matter of
I don't know why they would. I mean, the NL Central is not a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, but they already traded Burns. Didn't they trade someone else also, or just did nothing in free agency?
They just tricked everyone when they signed Rhys Hoskins and then decided to trade Corbin Burns a week later for the hell of it.
Where did Rhys Hoskins go?
The Brewers.
Milwaukee.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. I thought that I thought you said that they traded him. I was like, I thought he just joined the Brewers.
No, he's saying they baited and switched everybody by like, oh, we're trying with Rhys Hoskins, Corbin Burns is an Oriole.
Yeah. So let's see. I just dropped in the chat. Feel free to join if you're listening. Our Discord channel, it's been a lot of fun throughout spring training. They actually threw Jake under the bus the other day for his horrendous take that LeBron James is a better basketball player than Michael Jordan. You got dragged for that.
I don't care. Just look at the facts and watch the games. That's all I say. But we don't have to get into that now.
That's one of the worst debates ever created is that.
So join the Discord chat. It's in there. The link is provided right now if you want to join. And then some other housekeeping. The show is brought to you by TickPick. They are our sponsor. And a fellow co-host told me earlier today that he did use TickPick.
I did. I'm going to New Orleans in a week or so. And I'm going to go check out a basketball game there. I'm going to see the Pelicans and the Thunder, two of the top teams in the Western Conference, and I did use TickPick, got a great deal and some great seats.
And you paid no service fees at checkout over at TickPick, so download the app. So we're at the point of the show now where if you're hanging out in the YouTube channel, feel free to ask some questions. Hit that like button while you're at it. We'll get to some quick Q&As because in the meantime, I've covered pretty much everything I need to talk about.
Have they been saying lovely things about me? I'm sure they've only said nice things about me.
You'll have to go back and read this chat because I didn't follow it.
They didn't.
Good, good. I welcome that.
Yeah,
it's not fun if everybody's like, yay, go David. Like, fucking tell me I suck, dude. I want to hear it.
Oh, they didn't hold back if you scroll down.
I don't need that, but I appreciate all of the comments.
Dodgers like Justin Wilson and TJ McFarland as well. So maybe one of them make the Dodgers opening day roster. We could use a second lefty if it's not Ryan Yarbrough. I don't know anything about Dragon Ball Z. I don't have a comment on that.
Well, I know that the guy who made it died. So rest in peace to that guy.
All right. Rest in peace.
Yeah. So I think what he's talking about is the first base celebration, yeah?
That's a Dragon Ball Z reference?
Either that or the new like thing at second base. I'm not sure which one is which.
Like when Otani does the head thing?
Yeah, it's either that or the new like half, you know, thrust at second base. I'm not sure. He's got to clarify. Thrust.
I mean, the celebration is cool. I did not know that was Dragon Ball Z. I'd never really watched Dragon Ball Z. I'm a big Pokemon guy. I've said that before. Pokemon is more my jam.
Yeah, me too.
I like the head knock. I think it's kind of cool.
I smile. Sorry.
Aaron Vaughn.
Yeah. Does he ever smile? Not a lot.
All right.
I'm not a big teeth smile guy. I'm just more of like a smile, like closed mouth guy.
I suppose this is a fair question from Maria G. Bauer pitching to our minor league team. What are our thoughts? Because I believe Trevor Bauer threw three innings, had some strikeouts, allegedly topped out at between 97 and 99 miles per hour against the Dodgers minor league affiliate team just the other day. And then went on to say, I'm one of the best pitchers in the world. Sign me, damn it.
Look,
the answer to your question is yes, that happened.
all I'll say is this. Do I believe that Trevor Bauer is good enough to pitch in the major leagues again? Absolutely. I have no doubts that he would be an effective pitcher in the major leagues. But would any team sign him? It doesn't look like it because if there are teams out there that believe that he is a major league ready pitcher, which I believe there are teams out there that would believe that, they're not signing him not because he's not good enough. They're not signing him because they don't want to answer questions all season long about
why
they signed
him in general. Like, he's not easy to deal with. Whatever you think about his role in Major League Baseball or if he should be there or not, before all of this, before he was a Dodger, he was not easy to deal with.
No.
On any of the teams that he was on. So I think he needs to just suck it up, go pitch somewhere else, which is also insane that they're just like, okay, yeah, come pitch here. That's another debate. But my one thing, and then I'll shut up. I saw him give up two hits in a batting cage simulation driveline type thing to this random Barstool Sports blogger. That's
happen.
It. Like, see you later. Like maybe next year try again, but this year, no.
I saw Rachel Luba, his agent, made a comment on Twitter about how there's this like media narrative that teams won't want to sign Bauer because of the headache that he brings. And if it wasn't for this media narrative, he would be signed already. That's absolute bullshit because these teams haven't signed him yet. And I know that they're not concerned with the media narrative. They're concerned about their own narrative. They're concerned about their own franchise. And that's really the only reason why he hasn't been signed. You really want to get down to it.
And there's you can make a distinction here. You can be a good teammate, but also be a distraction. And I think that what we've heard of from the Dodgers players, at least, I think that is what Trevor Bauer was. I think he was a good teammate to those in the locker room while also being a giant fucking distraction.
And even if he was a model citizen and did everything by the book, how everyone wants him to act and all of that, just his mere presence on any roster,
especially now is going
to inflame things. I mean, how can it not? You saw what happened when the Dodgers signed him before.
He needs to go to a team like Oakland or Pittsburgh where you can deflect all the blame off ownership, and then all of a sudden Trevor Bauer becomes like your main attraction. Like,
so
if they
basically just want the A's to run a circus.
Look,
they already are a circus. You might as well gouge some money on your way out to Las Vegas.
Look, you saw what happened when the Dodgers initially signed him. I mean, there was a ton of backlash before any of the stuff that happened after they signed him. So now that everything that's happened after that, I mean,
but what's crazy is that was so long ago now. Like, that was the 2021 roster.
We've already had Julio Urías do the same thing almost.
Yeah, but like the fact that 22 and 23 were just so under the radar and then they were first round exits while with Bauer, that was a really gritty team that just fell into some Giants like devil magic luck where they finished second and there were a couple weird plays that didn't go our way. And all things considered, all the distractions, that Dodger team just had a lot of grit to them and they just fought to the very end when they were just literally depleted. It's just kind of funny to me that just how the way things played out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a weird couple years.
Let's see what else we've got. No other comments. So if you have any final chat questions, feel free to drop them. If you haven't subscribed yet, then you're pissing me off. Hit that subscribe button, and then I'll love you. The only question that came from Ryan, Catch the Blues, and he dropped it in our Discord chat. You know, is there any areas of strengths or weaknesses of the Dodgers that you wanted to touch on real quick before we head out?
Infield defense is a strength.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Ooh.
Got
a good question coming up.
Let me think. Any type of strength that, I mean, other than the lineup being a juggernaut.
It's ironic. I think this year, vice versa to last year, starting pitching is our strength. They really bulked it up, and I'm excited to see Tyler Glasnow. You want to talk about a guy that maybe some Dodger fans were unsure about, but all he's done is dominate this spring training and assert himself as a frontline starter. Yamamoto, we haven't seen a lot from him yet, but we know that the talent's there most certainly. And then we've got Walker Buehler coming back. Bobby Miller should get better. And then it looks like Gavin Stone's reemerged. I honestly think they've done a kick-ass job to really bulk up the Dodgers starting rotation. So I think that's our biggest strength. I would say on the flip side, the weakness besides the defense, that's the obvious one. I think we could improve the backups still. I'm not enthralled with Austin Barnes. Chris Taylor has been good, but it's always a question mark.
He's not going anywhere. It.
Jason Hayward, I think, is a big regression candidate. And then Kike Hernandez is going to come through when he needs the most. But I just feel like we don't have that guy that like I'm stoked about coming off the bench like we did when we had fucking Albert Pujols or David Freese.
That Pujols run was hilarious.
That was so was funny, dude.
Ridiculous. I am going to be very like hyperbolic here. I think the entire team is a strength. Everything, no matter what you analyze, they're good at it. And I don't think there's a weakness. You can say the infield defense is a weakness. I can't really dispute that claim. But I'm going to die on the hill that we haven't seen a season start yet. This is spring training is for getting your rhythm and practice. None of this shit matters. Is it great when you see your players have a great spring training? Yes. But I can't tell you how many times on play league, personal spring trainings, and then go on to have the worst season you've ever seen in your entire life. So,
or the other way around.
Yeah. So I don't put 1 cent of stock in spring training. My season starts on opening day. Okay, fine. If you want to call it Korea, okay. But
call it Korea.
You know, whatever opening day is to you, that's when my season starts.
It literally is opening day. It's the definition.
3 in the morning, 2 weeks before everyone else plays. So if I'm asleep, did it really happen? Yes, but no at the same time.
So literally opening
day. I don't
day.
Think this team has a weakness. I really don't. I think Muncy's going to be better. I think if they give Lux a fucking chance, he's going to hold his own at second base or shortstop. And I think for now, until you figure out what's going to happen, Mookie Betts, being the extremely talented player that he is, will hold his own at shortstop. Just don't have Kevin Padlow playing first when Lux throws it over there.
Won't be. Thank you so much, Dennis Gonzalez, for dropping a super chat. Really appreciate your support. If anyone else wants to drop super chats, more than happy to have that as well. And I love this question coming from Dennis. Who makes your non-player Dodger Mount Rushmore? His picks are Branch Rickey, Vince Scully, Tommy Lasorda, and then either Walter Alston, Mike Brito, or Walter O'Malley.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
You have to have Vin Scully. That's a no-brainer.
You kind of have to have Branch Rickey too.
What about Jaime Harine too? I think if you're having, Vin Scully on there, I think you kind of have to have Jaime.
Yeah, I can see that. So
I would put Andrew Friedman on there, even though, come on, dude. If he
one what title do you mean, so come, far, one title so
oh
far.
Oh my God, he's gotten us to 3 World Series. It would have been 2 if the fucking Astros didn't cheat. The Dodgers haven't missed the playoffs since.
With that logic, Kevin, Dave Roberts should be on there too.
Yep. You can't, if you're going to have Well, Andrew Freeman on there, not Walter O'Malley on there. Just stop.
You're interrupting me, and I didn't even exclude Dave Roberts. I'm talking about why Freeman should be
Roberts on there. Roberts on there too?
Andrew Freeman hasn't missed the playoffs once since the What does this have to do with Freeman? Andrew Freeman hasn't missed the playoffs once since taking the helm with the Dodgers. This is year 9, I think, now with the Dodgers, and they've smoked 100 wins like 5 times. They've won 3 pennants. He's pulled off master fleece after master fleece. He's the greatest executive in Dodgers history. Of course he's going to be on my Mount Rushmore. What do you mean no? I went from having to deal with Ned Coletti signing Andrew Jones and Jason Schmidt to now I got Andrew Freeman getting me fucking Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Shohei Ohtani. Of course he's on the Mount Rushmore.
You can put him on there, but let's hear your other 3 then, because you're going to leave people off. That's going to be bad.
So how many do I have to have total? 5 or 4. 6?
There's 4 on Mount Rushmore.
Okay, well, it's Vin, and then I agree with Branch Rickey, then Freeman, and I think by default, I mean, I feel like Walter O'Malley almost has to be on there just because he brought the team to Los Angeles. So there you go.
So you're leaving off Tommy Lasorda, Jaime Jarrín, Walter Alston, Mike Brito, and pretty much everybody else who's ever been in the organization.
I mean, yeah, I guess I have to if I only get 4.
That's the mountain.
So there's my 4.
Is Lasorda technically a non-player? I mean, he did play for the Dodgers.
That does not count as a player. Come on.
You have to go.
Just saying. Will Ferrell played for the Dodgers too.
Actually, I don't want Branch Rickey on. I'm giving Alston over him. Sorry.
No.
What do you mean no? This was like the greatest manager in Dodgers history. Of course I have to go with him.
I don't understand how you put Friedman on there and not Dave Roberts. I don't understand that.
No, I completely understand that.
You're telling me Dave Roberts has done more for the Dodgers than Andrew Freeman?
No, I'm just saying you're...
Then what are you disputing?
No.
You're not, they don't hold hands.
I'm not putting Dave Roberts on there. I'm just then saying by Kevin's logic, Dave Roberts should be on there.
The logic is flawless. If Friedman over Roberts makes 1,000,000% sense.
They're not a package duo. I don't have to have both. This isn't like president and vice president. You don't have your president and then the vice president on the Mount Rushmore.
Let's see. Dave Roberts is my president. He hasn't missed the playoffs. Those are all things that you said about.
Yeah, but he didn't sign Shohei Ohtani. He didn't trade for Trey Turner. He didn't do any of that. None of that shit was Dave Roberts.
And the minor league system, we've had a stacked farm. Like, come on.
Yeah.
They're not even in the same tier.
No.
I agree.
Then why are you questioning it?
Just your logic for Friedman.
Here's my opinion. Vin Scully, automatic. Tommy Lasorda, I think, is automatic. And Walter O'Malley has to be automatic because we wouldn't be talking about the Dodgers without it. We would be Angels fans. We would all be rooting for Artie Moreno right now. So those 3, I think, are non-negotiable. So that leaves one spot for essentially Branch Rickey, Walter Alston, Mike Brito, Andrew Friedman, I guess, and who else? Who have I not said?
Did you include Lasorda?
Lasorda, if you don't put him on there, I don't know what you are looking at.
I agree.
So I think those 3 are locks, and I think the 4th one is up for interpretation.
To me, I'm going with Branch Rickey, Vin Scully, Lasorda, and O'Malley.
Me too. That is mine as well.
I just think it's insulting to have Lasorda over Alston, but that's fine.
I don't know how it's insulting.
Not insulting. I don't know if
look at what the Dodgers did under Walter Alston.
The Dodgers under Walter Alston were great. The Dodgers under Lasorda were great as well. He won 2 titles.
Not as great.
Lasorda won 2. Think about what Lasorda has meant to the Dodgers.
The identity
of the Dodgers, bleed Dodger blue. Blue heaven on earth, all of that stuff.
Right.
Walter Alston was just a good manager.
I mean, they're just different times, I think. But
well, that's true. But I don't know. I don't agree with
4-time World Series champion.
I
think you have to credit him with Sandy Koufax's turnaround. I don't really think they had pitching coaches back then.
Come on.
I think the managers really had more say in development and all that.
I'm just saying for what Tommy Lasorda meant to the Dodgers organization as in historically, not just the World Series titles and not just what he did as a manager, but what he meant symbolically, I think you have to have him on there over Alston. I mean, it's a tough choice.
There's three locks. You got to have those three on there.
I mean,
you have to.
Yeah, it's just a tough call. I mean, Alston was the Dodgers manager for 22 seasons. He was the Brooklyn and then Los Angeles Dodgers manager.
I mean, you can go to South Dakota and start carving more faces on that mountain and add more, but I mean.
I just think if you ask most Dodger fans who the greatest manager in the franchise history is, you have to go Alston.
It's South Dakota, right?
Yes.
That didn't sound very confident, Kevin. Should I look it up?
I said yes.
Yeah, but there was like a lot of hesitation in there.
I think if you look at titles and you look at the fact that Alston was the manager when the Dodgers won their first ever World Series title. I mean, yes, I think resume-wise, he may have a better resume than Tommy Lasorda, but I think in terms of what Lasorda meant to this franchise symbolically as an ambassador, all of that stuff, that's why I would lean Lasorda.
I mean, yeah, this is splitting hairs. Like, can't go wrong either way. And there's valid arguments for both.
I agree.
I think Lasorda's legacy grew more post managerial days versus as manager, Hall of Fame manager, obviously. But I think there became more nostalgia and appreciation for him after the fact. There's a reason they both have their jerseys retired. So
yes,
you can't go wrong either way. And no, Dave Roberts would not be on my Mount Rushmore. That's just ludicrous.
No, it wouldn't be.
He's going to have his jersey retired, though. So we have to accept that. It's inevitable. It's not maybe. It's a guarantee.
I think he's headed there for sure. But there's no, I don't think he's, if he quit right now, I don't think he would.
I think he did enough.
One title,
three pennants. Usually if you win a championship.
Kershaw in the game against the Nationals. Kind of evens out.
Yeah, Dave, at this point, I mean, I think Dave would have to win one, maybe two more titles to be retired. One, definitely. But I agree with David. If he quit right now, I don't see how you can.
Does he even have a number?
30.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Managers should not wear numbers anymore also. And they shouldn't wear uniforms either. Also, why are they wearing uniforms?
Also, isn't the barometer the Hall of Fame? Like, would Dave Roberts be a Hall of Fame manager if he quit right now? Isn't that how they decide what numbers are retired?
I don't know how they vote for those
excluding
guys.
Excluding Fernando Valenzuela, obviously. That's what I just said.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I think one title is enough. Especially if you have such a dominant win percentage. I mean, how do you exclude the all-time leader in regular season win percentage? It just would seem kind of weird to me. Not like Lasorda was perfect either. I see Jeremy Ross mentioning Lasorda lost a few World Series too. If Lasorda won two, I guess Dave Roberts needs to win one more to get to two for sake of equilibrium, I suppose. And yeah, I will be the first one to say fire his ass if they get bounced in round one again, because that's just unacceptable with the talent that they've stockpiled.
To me, it's like, okay, so you're arguing he should have his number retired and all of that if you're willing to pull the plug on him. I mean, if he's that great.
I'm just telling you what, I wouldn't retire his number personally. I'm just telling you what I think is going to happen.
All right.
He needs one more.
I just know how these teams operate. They are obsessed with Dave Roberts. Yeah, that's a good comparison I see. He's basically Bobby Cox right now.
How many did Bobby win?
One.
Okay, then yeah, he is. Well, he's like a way like happier, less angry version of Bobby Cox.
Yeah. Any final thoughts besides, I don't think I see any other questions. Final question. Final thoughts. We're going to wrap this up. Favorite area to sit and watch at Dodger Stadium for Maria G's question. I think she's saying the pavilion for her.
There is one spot in the stadium that I haven't tried yet that I really want. I don't know if you guys have been there, but the home run seats. Have you?
Yeah,
guys
I want to try that.
I've never been there. I've always wanted to try those. I mean, to me, the best place to sit is the dugout club if you can swing it.
I think. Well, yeah.
I mean,
talk about entitled much.
No, that's a fair answer. If you can, he said, if you can swing it. If you can swing it, then yeah, fuck yeah, it's the best place. But I think a realistic answer for me, my favorite angle is the loge. I think if you sit in like the first five rows of loge, you get a nice angle at the field.
That's a good angle.
Yeah, but I don't know. Pavilions are probably the most fun, but you can't really see shit.
Before the prices got jacked up and now it's $100 minimum, field level near where the first baseman lies, optimal angle. You're able
those
to see
seats those. that you have, David, are pretty sick. Yeah. The field level ones.
Yeah, they're nice. But in terms of my favorite angle of the game, it's loge first 5 to 10 rows.
Cool. We've got why the podcast is called The Incline. I don't really feel like answering all that right now.
Why can't you just give him a one line thing?
It's his climb plus the Dodger Stadium is on an incline.
David answered it. There you go, Aaron.
Easy as that.
If you could have any piece of Dodgers memorabilia, what would it be? From IV? The World Series trophy from 2020. I will take that. Thank you very much. But if I can't have that, I'll take a championship ring.
I'd take Jackie Robinson's first ever game-worn jersey.
That'd be pretty sweet. Maybe something like Kirk Gibson's jersey that he wore in game one of the 1988 World Series would be pretty sick. Yeah. But a World Series ring of any year would be nice.
Ryan wants the ball from Lux's first clean throw.
That's really funny.
Well, go get it because it's out there.
Any other things you guys want to throw out real quick, miscellaneous, or what's on your mind?
I can't think of anything else.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, I think we've covered everything on this episode of the Incline Dodgers podcast. Thank you guys so much for watching. If you're watching on the audio feed, appreciate you putting up with our shenanigans. Make sure you're subscribing and you can leave us a 5-star review. If you're watching on the YouTube feed after the fact when we went live, go ahead and drop us a comment on your thoughts of who you think the Dodgers' fifth starter should be in the rotation. I want to hear you guys' thoughts. Or if you have some hot takes, you can drop those in as well and we'll respond. Kevin Klein signing off with Jake Reiner and David Rosenthal. Incline Dodgers podcast. You'll hear from us very soon. We got a preview of the 2024 season. We're going to let you know our division winners and some awards predictions and Dodgers bold and not so bold takes. So thank you guys for watching. We're going to end this now.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.